Okay, welcome everyone to week 5, module 5. Wow, here we are, almost finished. And again, I want to thank you for being here, and I'm looking forward to hearing how your week has gone, your successes, your challenges, what you've noticed, what tools you're using, what's working for you, what has you remember. And so, as usual, the agenda is that I'm going to ask you to assess your stress levels. You can use the stress thermometer or just come up with a number. And we'll do a little virtual, around the virtual room check-in and see if anybody needs any special coaching today. And we'll talk about the theme and go from there with the tools and the guided process and end up with your take on today. So let's begin. Let's have you both, since it's Kim and Virginie on the phone today on the call, go ahead and just check out for yourself where are you at in your current stress level. That could be, you know, a cumulative, that could be right now. Where are you at? Let's just stick to right now, actually. Where are you at right now, today?
So for me, I'm feeling somewhere between a 5 and a 6. I think I had such a relaxing weekend. And this is Kim. I, you know, have a lot going on at work, but I've been able to use some of the techniques that we've been working on. Today in particular, it seemed like the breathing was really working well for me.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Kim.
And I'm at a 7. I had a pretty intense day. My husband is traveling today, tomorrow, and then he's going to be traveling next week and the following week. And so that pushes me to just rearranging my schedule quite a bit in order to be able to accommodate picking up and dropping off the kids. Plus, I've had today, I got multiple requests for being on the phone at 6 a.m., 7 a.m., multiple times this week. And I've had to say no, and I don't know how to say no. but I didn't have a choice because my husband's traveling. I can't, be on the phone and taking care of the kids at the same time. So that has been a little stressful to manage because, you know, if I can't take these calls, then it's like everybody's complaining and trying to figure out how to deal with the fact that I'm not available. So it's been a little bit challenging. But in the end, I was like, I have to just say, I can't do it, and I can't be in multiple places at the same time. I warned my manager and told him, listen, you might get an escalation that I'm not available, but it's just the way it is. And he's like, you shouldn't even have to take 7 a.m. calls to start with, so don't even worry about it.
So there you go.
Yep.
There you go. Look at that. How you put that worry on yourself, and somebody says, "Well, you know, don't even worry about it."
Yep.
Because you shouldn't shouldn't have to take them.
Yep.
And it's interesting how you say you don't know how to say no, but you did say no.
I did. It took me some time to respond because I knew this was the right thing to do, and this is my only option. But it doesn't come naturally. It's like, you know, there's this guilt feeling of having to say no.
Interesting, isn't it?
There's
that wanting to please aspect, isn't
Absolutely.
It? That tends to come naturally for women and, you know, for other people, for men as well. Other people, you know, those other people. Sometimes they can have issues with that as well, but, you know, I find it mostly women And, you know, not every single woman has that, but it is about boundaries. And I was looking at that today as I was looking at our theme, which is toleration, and searching for a quote. Everything that really seemed to be befitting was about boundaries. Otherwise, tolerations, quote, tolerations was more on the political or racist arena. So I wasn't really finding my tolerations that I, quote, that I wanted, but there was so much about boundaries, healthy boundaries. And the one thing I came upon was that, remember that no is complete sentence. And I thought that was really great, you know, about
no is complete sentence. I like that.
Yeah.
I might add that to my signature.
There you go.
Wow. This is very powerful, Jackie. You didn't even know I would bring this up, but this is really good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I like this. This resonates really well with me. I'm going to practice this one.
No,
anybody questions and comes back. That's my answer. No, it's a complete sentence.
Right, yeah. Or you just say no, because that is the complete sentence, and you have it in your mind. Okay, I don't have to say, because oftentimes what happens is that no, but I'm sorry, no, I can't, oh no, no, you know, all of that comes. And yes, it can be very appropriate to give people the communication that's needed so they understand why it is that you are declining, but it's also... I think it's powerful to understand that for yourself, that no is a complete sentence, that sometimes you just need to say no, and you don't have to give the whole storyline.
You don't have to explain yourself or justify yourself.
Exactly. Justifying yourself, right. Exactly. Yeah.
I like that a lot. That's a great resource.
Yeah. Yeah.
Works well for me today.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, on those same line, you know, I had done written an email last week about some of the communication, and I don't have it in front of me right now, but I remember pointing out something to you, Virginie, about, you know, how you were expecting the next 2 months to be full of stress.
Yep.
And I'm wondering, just going back to that for a moment, how did that sit with you then the rest of the week, and how did you see that play out?
I've been very aware and tried to really not make that statement. So that's really been how I've been practicing this. Whenever I've thought, you know, it's going to be a disaster for me, or it's going to be difficult for me, just to try to realize this is my own creation of, you know, yes, I'm going to have a lot of work, but I should learn how to manage this. And part of it was today to be able to just say no and say, whatever happens, happens, doesn't matter. I just can't deal with it today, and that's just the reality. So...
That was my practice.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so it's been forefront for you in noticing and bringing awareness to how you're thinking about your stressors, which then those thoughts and those stories just exacerbate that feeling and keep you attached into it. So when we become aware of that, we can then start to detach, because we can elevate, we can say, no, delete, stop, breathe, and change the thought, change the pattern.
Absolutely.
Well, good.
So thank you for that, Jackie. That was really needed.
Yeah, I wanted to follow up. Good, I'm glad. Anything in particular for you, Kim, this week that showed up in... from anything that we did last week, the work that we did, and there's somebody that's rumbling around over there. I don't know what you're doing. You may be moving your phone on your body or something, or getting air in, but there's just some some external noise, if you might pay attention to that. And Kim, are you there?
Yeah, I think for me this last week, you know, again, I'm just trying to think more about how I frame what I tell myself, and that those things are choices, and how I choose to frame something for myself can either increase or decrease my stress. So I've been thinking a lot about that, you know, especially, I mean, what you had written to Virginie in the email really resonated with me, which was, well, that's the story you've told yourself, but you could tell yourself a different story. So I think along those lines, that's how I've been trying to think about things that pop up. It's like, okay, am I going to take this thing that popped up and tell myself it's going to increase my stress, or am I going to approach it a different way? And one of the key things I tried to do this last week that I think really helped is, like, I try to focus on it just with my own staff. So start with a small population, and when something came to me, try to react in a positive way, look at the opportunity, and that seemed to help a lot. So I'm thinking about, okay, how do I do that now with the kids, and with the husband, and with, you know, my other colleagues? You know, how could I make that a more active behavior versus, you know, I had to work really hard about it. I had to, like, sit and think for a couple seconds, okay, I'm not going to get mad. Virginie knows this, having worked for me before. Not going to get mad, pound my fist on the table, get upset. I'm going to think about it in a different way. So that's something that I really worked on last week.
Oh, that's really great, yeah. And, you know, going forward with your children, with your husband, you know, with other people in your life, that's where, you know, taking that breath, as you said, you know, you were focused on today, you know, breathing gives you that little bit of space to start to respond rather than react. You know, because we are creatures of habit. We do have the physiological responses going on and the neurological of the brain pattern, you know, that happens in all that we've been doing in our thoughts, and so it gets into that repetitive cycle. And our environment calls us to keep responding in the same way. You know, it's just like anything in our lives. You know I can speak for myself. I get up in the morning and, you know, get dressed, and I do a couple of things that I'm going to do. We take our walk, but when I come back from my walk, I'm going over to the coffee pot. I'm making my coffee. You know, I have this little routine going on. You know, my environment says this is the way you do it. And so when you're around people that are in your life as part of your environment, and you've been responding in a certain way, it does take that stepping back. Otherwise, you're going to go right into what seems to be normal or the habits of what's been repeated so often before. So, yeah, it's great to start asking all those questions. Is this how I want to frame what I'm saying? I have a choice to increase or decrease my stress. And taking that moment to breathe with creating that intention that this is what you want for yourself, that you want to ask yourself, you want to be curious, you want to be aware. And, you know, we're not perfect. It's not going to be perfect every time, but it's taking that action to stop where you're at and be aware. Then you can move into that next place. And it sounds like you're doing that at work, in your work environment, and you know, the more that you practice that, it gets easier to do it at home. And I'm not going to say it's going to be a piece of cake all the time, but, you know, it's practice like anything, you know. So great. Well, thank you both. And today's theme is on toleration. So what does that mean? And it is about what are you tolerating in your life. So the quotes that I did find are, whatever you are willing to put up with is exactly what you will have. It's an interesting one, isn't it? And then there is no, and it's anonymous, so I don't know who wrote that. And then we have a Dr. Phil quote here. There is no virtue in tolerating toxic behavior. And I say let's apply that to our own toxic behavior rather than pointing the finger at someone else. And we could also say, yes, others, you know, who want to infringe upon our time of trying to get appointments at 6 a.m., right? You don't want to tolerate that toxic behavior. So you say, no is a complete sense.
So, I wrote down this quote, Jackie, that is virtue, tolerating toxic behavior, because definitely this is something that can clearly apply in the office. So you put this as something for ourselves, but
yeah.
It's also something for others that
yeah.
have toxic behaviors around you and that affects you. So.
Right, exactly. Right, if everyone in the office adhered to that and became aware that they don't want to tolerate toxic behavior, then everybody is going to start questioning their own behaviors. Am I being toxic? Or putting on the healthy boundaries around other people who are toxic and having straight conversations, you know, learning how to manage those toxic people so that toxicity doesn't seep into you.
And maybe it is about doing what Jim said earlier, which is, you know, spinning a positive thing on whatever people are doing to you, just do that so that you don't see just the negative.
Right. Yeah. It works both ways. You can understand that there's toxic behavior there. And, yeah, if you just focus on it, then you're going to get frustrated, you're going to get pissed off, you know, resentful. And that's where, okay, there's awareness that somebody is behaving in a way that's giving off negative energy all over the place. How am I going to protect myself now that it doesn't seep into me? And then you can turn into looking at, well, how can I use this as an opportunity? An opportunity maybe to model less toxic behavior. You know, more empowering behavior, or questioning how that you can do something or think about it or respond to it or take that breath or use some of the tools so that it's not affecting you. So that's that reframe. So, yeah, it all just kind of flows right from one to the other. That's great. The other one, I went further and found a third one. We change our behavior when the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the pain of changing. Consequences give us the pain that motivates us to change. So again, looking at tolerations, from that point of view of tolerations, what are tolerations? It's things that we're putting up with. And if we're putting up with something that's undermining our well-being, then it starts to become painful after a while and can motivate us to change. Oftentimes, what happens with things that we're putting up with is that a lot of those things we're putting up with can be smaller things. They're not big things. They're not that outright toxic behavior. And so a lot of times we can kind of push it off as, oh, that's just that little thing, you know, that isn't such a big deal, and I shouldn't make a big deal out of it. But what happens with allowing tolerations to put up with them is that it's not creating that healthy boundary. So from my book, it's Changing for Good section on tool number 8, Get Rid of Tolerations. Getting rid of tolerations could easily be an aspect of setting up healthy boundaries. So it kind of flows from that same place. Yet I feel it's important enough to address separately. So by understanding how what we tolerate creates stress in our lives, you will understand how eliminating those tolerations will support you in having more energy, inner calm, and peace of mind. The type of tolerations I'm referring to have nothing to do with political, racial, or religion stances. Instead, they are those insidious sources of irritations, frustrations, and distractions that we just put up with and may be blind to how depleting they are. Most often, tolerations are the small things in our lives. It's those little things, like even something minor, like a button missing on your jacket, where you tell yourself it's no big deal. And it can be a big deal because if every time you think about that darn missing button that you still haven't sewn on the jacket or gotten rid of, and you feel your energy being drained right out from under you, and you sigh yet again, you're experiencing stress. It's kind of like it just adds up, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back type of thing. So tolerations will often present themselves as those items on the to-do list that never get done, yet keep reappearing every time you start a new list. You know, they need attending to. That's why they are on the to-do list, but it just doesn't seem to happen. So when you are consciously identifying and you eliminate what you are tolerating instead of just allowing it to hover in the background of your mind, you can free up an astonishing amount of time and energy. And time and energy are extremely valuable resources to support you in engaging in pursuit of what really lights you up the most. So you know that time and energy is very valuable to you too, particularly on this call, and I know for Cheryl, and I know for Wendy, for all of us. Time is very valuable. And so the tolerations and looking at tolerations isn't about looking at that list of things to do and go, oh my God, and getting yourself more stressed out. It's just becoming aware of those things that you are tolerating. You know, like walking past the pile of mail, you know, on your kitchen counter that keeps getting piled up. It becomes stressful when you look at that, doesn't it? Or, you know, the email that hasn't been attended to. Now, probably in your work arena, both of you are needing to attend to email at a particular system that you have, but you know there's those types of things. It's, you know, having inertia about even your health and well-being. You know, oh, I should go for a walk today, or I should be eating, you know, better. And you never do it. You never take the action. You're tolerating. You're putting up with not taking care of yourself. Does this make sense to both of you?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I know for me, what you said about, like, the to-do list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I've got a big problem with that. I've got stuff on my to-do list that's been on my to-do list for years, and it's still not done. And you're right. Uh-huh. Every time I think about that darn list or make a new list, like, I'm like, oh, do I have to use that list because I still haven't got all that stuff done?
Mm-hmm.
That's one area I know for sure I feel it. And then the second one would also be the emails, because it's similar. I file them in a certain place saying I'm going to get to them, and then I never do.
Mm-hmm.
I've found a solution for that one. I do not file anything anymore. I just have.
Do you feel better?
Honestly, I do. I stopped filing emails, I think, probably about 2.5-3 years ago. Because I used to, and I couldn't find anything anymore, or I would never get to it. And I decided one day that there was no point, because if I really needed a piece of email, I would get back to it and find it. And I've completely stopped filing everything, and honestly, it has worked great for me. There's nothing in the specific folder or anything like this.
So do you delete mail then? Or
no,
you,
I don't.
Is it all in your inbox?
It's all in my inbox because I can't delete anything because I have to be able to trace back to whatever approval I've been giving for stuff. But, you know, if I'm looking for something, it's going to be looking for either a deal or a specific person I've been dealing with. And it's easy for me to just do a search in the inbox and just find whatever I need. But I am not filing a single piece of email anymore. No point whatsoever in my life. It's like, you know, because I wouldn't find anything anymore. It's like I would just question myself, where did I put this? And it just doesn't work for me. So not filing has been my solution to my filing problem. So, for what it's worth, you know what? You may want to try that and see what happens. Unless, you know, this is very specific stuff about your employees that you want to keep, like, you know, like a folder on them or so that you have everything handy.
And that might be something, you know, that this might bring up for you, Kim, is, you know, going back to what you said earlier, how can I frame that, to either increase or decrease my stress? So what can I do? Can I be okay with not filing them away, as Janine does, or can I be okay with putting them in a folder, but, you know, when I need them, I'll know that they're in the folder. Those types of things. I'm sure the emails that you have to communicate with, you probably do. They're probably taken care of pretty quickly. Is that correct? Okay. Well, and then there's another thing to do with those kind of, you know, emails, with work emails, is give yourself a time during the day that you schedule at noontime for, you know, going through your email for one half hour, 20 minutes, 15 minutes. I don't know what the time is going to be. That may be a solution for you to figure out, okay, put it on your schedule just like there's other things on your schedule. And that can ease that, oh my God, there's all this email, I don't know when I'm going to get to it type of feeling.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, but and I don't know if that's the solution, but I think what you're going to find in the process work we're going to do is that you're going to find something that will work and fit right into your framework of, is it going to give me stress or is it going to relieve stress? And that's what this is all about, of looking at our tolerations is you know, where is that underlying stress that we're not aware of? And it can even be things of what you find yourself thinking or saying, you know, as we've been looking at, you know, ugh, he's left his clothes all in a pile again, you know, I hate it when she says something like that. I guess there's nothing I can do about it. Sigh, the big sigh. You know, another piece of paper I don't know what to do with. Another email I don't know what to do with. You know, those types of things, your thoughts, and once again. So what do you do with that? So, yeah, it just gives us an opportunity. It's not about, you know, creating another to-do list because, you know, you don't want to have that, you want to get the button that needs to be sewn on off the list, you know, or those things that were put on the list 3 years ago. It may give you an opportunity to actually look at that list and say, is this important anymore? You know, it once was, and, you know, our priorities change. What we think is important, you know, one day is no longer important on another day when we actually ask that question, is this important? Or can I hire somebody to do this? If my husband's not going to be the handyman, who else can I get to be the handyman if there's handyman projects around? Maybe I, you know, make a list up and decide to get a handyman, and I don't know if this is things on your list or not. I don't know. Am I off key, or is there a handyman issue here?
Yeah, absolutely. Because
it's on every wife's list that there's a handyman needed.
Yes, that's right.
That's a given, and I've practiced that one as well, and I've taken advantage of my husband being traveling to get stuff done that way. Because, you know, if I tell him someone is going to come do something you haven't done for 3 years, it's a challenge. But if someone comes and does it, then he comes back and it's all done, and he's like, oh, you know, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it works pretty well, actually. And there is even stuff that he hasn't even noticed got done in his accent. And that is the best.
That you feel better about, and he doesn't really argue about how much it cost or who did it.
That's exactly it, guys.
Love it.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's interesting when you do that. And I hear you, too, because I've also had these issues where I say, okay, my husband's very handy and he does a lot of things, which actually can be a problem because then he doesn't want to ever hire anything out. But sometimes it's like, okay, we just need to have this done. You can't do it. It's too much. We're going to, you know, get it done. So you take charge and it feels better, you know, rather than, I'm going to get done. And, you know, and then you feel like, you know, it's constantly on the list, and it's never going away. So it's just an opportunity to become more and more aware of what does get under your skin, so to speak. And rather than feeling helpless and hopeless about it, make some choices. What can you do to feel better about it? And sometimes it may even be just deciding, well, screw it, you know, this doesn't even need to be done. You know, I don't really care anymore. Or, you know, or it could be, I'm just going to get Mr. Handyman. I think I've seen the handyman truck go around that's called the honeydew list or hire a husband. That's it, hire a husband.
So you're saying that having on my to-do list getting a scrapbook done for every year my children have been alive, it's probably unrealistic at this point, given they're 11 and 13. Maybe I should just let that go.
Well, what does your inner knowingness tell you, Kim?
It tells me I should reevaluate what I really care about, knowing from their childhood, and focus on doing something around that.
Mhm. Yeah. I know it is. It's those wonderful plans. Yeah, of having that scrapbook, or you know, I've got about, I can't even tell you how many boxes of photos, you know, from my life that aren't in albums. And I've said to myself, yeah, I wonder, you know, it would be nice to have them in an album. But at this point, it's like, okay, let me see if I can get them digitally done, or, you know, just forget about it. Somebody else is going to have to deal with it when I'm gone. But, you know, I'll do what I can now, you know, of what's important to me. Because, you know, at least at this point, maybe when I'm absolutely not doing anything, I'll go through all those pictures and put them in an album, if they're still readable. But, there's too many other things to do, and, it's letting go, isn't it? As we're talking, that's what, you know, I'm coming to as well. It's about letting go. It's like we don't have to do it all, even though we thought we would like to do that particular thing. And that's where, again, our wishes and dreams can change over time. And yes, that it still may be something you'd love to have done if you have that magic wand, but knowing that you don't have the time and right now you're focused on your children in the present moment, and that's what's most important. And maybe, you decide not to do your job anymore or something, you might decide to sit down and do scrapbooking, but not at this point in your life.
I can't imagine me doing scrapbooking.
No, I'm trying to picture this, and I'm like, wow, I didn't even know this was something you had thought about doing Wednesday. So, you know.
See what you're learning here.
Yeah, that's something I've been thinking about as well. As I've been looking for pictures for Mathilde, she wanted pictures because she's going to graduate, this year from 8th grade, and she had to
find pictures going back to when she was little, and I was going through all of the pictures I had of her, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have so many pictures, but they're all in folders, and you know, no one ever looks at them again unless you actually really look for something. And I was thinking exactly the same thing, Kim. It would be nice to just, like, on a, you know, every year at the end of the year, you just go through a few folders and you put a few things together and you create one of these digital books that you get printed, and then you're done. It could be simple if you were doing this, like, on a yearly basis rather than waiting 10 years later to just go back and feel like it's so overwhelming.
Well, it's been on my list for that long is my problem.
Yeah, and that's it. But, you know, and one way that you may start it, if that still feels like it's a calling for you, Kim, is just do it this year, you know, and just do it. Just, you know that you're going to do it this year. And if you did 1 year, you know, and then you can decide, well, gosh, do I ever want to do that again? Or, yeah, this is, and you could go forward without having to go backwards. You know, a thought, but again, and I like what Virginie is saying about, you know, being in doing a digital one, because that, you know, most of us now have all our pictures digitally, and nobody even ever sees them, and sometimes I wonder why I even take a picture anymore, you know, because who's seeing this? Except every once in a while you throw something on Facebook or, you know, but it isn't like the days when we always used to put everything in an album. You know, you go to the print, you get it printed, and you stick it in an album right away. Well, this kind of doesn't happen that way anymore. So, yeah, you could do the digital scrapbook thingy, and you know, just do it this year. If you find that that's going to work for you, so you've got to keep asking yourself, can I do this and make it work, and not have it be something on the list that now is another thing on the list that doesn't get done. So, getting to the three action steps that you can take to shine the light on your tolerations, and I think you two have been doing a wonderful job already, to reduce your stress, find more ease, calmness, and clarity in your life. You want to appraise, make an honest appraisal of what you are tolerating by examining various areas of your life, your home environment, health, work, money, relationships, and so on. And write down anything that annoys you or that you feel you are putting up with in each of these areas. You can then use these questions to assist you in your appraisal and your tolerations list, such as, why am I saying yes to that, what I would really like to say no to? What am I saying yes to that I would really like to say no to? What am I saying no to that I would really like to say yes to? And the type of things like, does this person frustrate, irritate, or annoy me frequently? So you may be tolerating that person, their behavior, and yes, then you could turn it around to see how you can work for yourself, make it a reframe that it no longer has to bug you, and you put in those healthy boundaries. So does this blank, whatever, fill in the blank, nag me every time I see it, like the list? Maybe just pull that, just get rid of that list, you know, that big, long, years-long list, and start anew. You know, start a new list. Just make it a daily list. And forget about what's all on the old. If it hasn't been done, maybe you have to say it's not so important anymore, which is what I think you were looking at, Kim. So that's one thing to do, is to do an appraisal. You know, you don't have to get so detailed in writing it down. You can go through your head. You can ask those questions and then evaluate, work with those questions and evaluate what's on your tolerations list. And, you know, just understand, can you act on it? Can you eliminate it? Can you improve it? And what are you really committed to? So when you begin to examine and evaluate what you've been tolerating, it's possible you may find that you are attached to some of the items on your tolerations list, And this could be due to an underlying payoff you get by tolerating some things. For example, you may be committed to being comfortable. It may feel far more comfortable to not rock the boat, speak up for yourself, or to be invisible than it is to make changes, which may feel quite uncomfortable to you. So it's just an area, once again, to be aware of. And eliminate. So to begin, it can be helpful to divide this list into small items, big scale. Like maybe you can do a small scale item that's been on that list, such as, you know, sewing the buttons or getting rid of the pile of mail on the kitchen counter and just going through it for 15 minutes, you know, at one time. Start small. And then you can prioritize the bigger scale items. And you can do a regular tolerations elimination time by just going through, maybe looking at that list and saying, nope, I don't want that anymore. I'm not going to tolerate it even being on my list. Okay, so it can be, it's an ongoing process. It's not like you do something once and that's it. You know, it's all these things that kind of add up in our lives. So, and again, it's not about getting stressed out about that you have tolerations in your life, but it is about being aware of them so that you can do something about them, that they no longer have to be that underlying stress that's going on. Okay, anything else before we go into a process about this right now?
Okay, so I
did want to ask you, what are you tolerating in your life right now? And both of you have already come up with a couple of things. So if you want to keep those in mind, what you are tolerating, if you have one, two, or three things that just come up right now, you don't have to go into the big list. It could be your list, it could be the email, it could be the things around the house. Could be people infringing upon your schedule. So just keeping those things in mind now, if you would just get comfortable, we'll go into a process now. Okay, everybody ready? Okay. So just focusing in on your breathing, using your focused, calm breathing. And incorporate the fingers by pressing in thumb and forefinger together as you inhale. And as you exhale, just release them, telling yourself, let go. And go ahead and do that again. Inhale, pressing thumb and forefinger together. And exhale, let go. And one more time, inhale, fingers together, and just exhaling, letting go, and feeling yourself now, letting go more and more, as you just sink into the support beneath you, knowing you are fully supported now. And as you become more relaxed, your subconscious mind becomes more alert, your imagination becomes more fluid, and the chatter of the conscious mind becomes quieter. So as your mind relaxes, so too does your body, reminding you now that whatever the external circumstances, peace, harmony, and inner calm are yours, they belong to you. And so now, as you sink deeper into that place of inner knowingness, where you connect into who you really are. I'm going to count from five down to one. When I reach one, you're going to find yourself in a meeting place. Now, this meeting place could be indoors, and it could be outdoors. Whatever your inner knowingness, wherever your inner knowingness takes you now. And in this meeting place, you're going to find that your inner wise self will be there with you. So now, five, releasing more and more. Four, getting ready now to go to that place. Three, two, one can just be there now in this meeting place, however you see it. It could be in the beautiful outdoors, or it could be in a healing room where you feel very safe, very strong, and very curious about what you are tolerating in your life now, how it may drain your energy, keep you feeling stressed, out of control. And notice now that there is a presence here in this place. And you may see this presence, you may sense her, you may hear her. And whatever you notice is perfectly fine. And this is your inner wise self. And she's going to show you. It could be a movie. A movie of all the things that you are tolerating. And some you've been aware of on a conscious level, and some will emerge now because they've been under your conscious radar. So as you watch this movie, you are aware of the feelings of stress you've been experiencing due to these things you've been putting up with. And your inner wise self is here to help you make some empowering decisions about the next action steps for you to take, so that it will be easy for you to do whatever those are and give you relief from the stress about them that you've been experiencing. And having that sense of completion. And it may surprise you what your inner wise self will tell you or show you now. So your inner wise self may show you on the next frame of the movie, or she may whisper in your ear, or write it out, I don't know. But in a moment, you will get the message in whatever way is appropriate for you today. So simply invite your inner wise self to show you now what is the first and easy action step for you to take in the realm of getting rid of toleration. And whatever it is, you remember it easily now. You remember it easily by either receiving a picture, a word, a symbol, or getting a feeling. That's right. And so now, knowing what you know, you can drift now into that place, further down into this experience of inner focus. And as you do, you just relax into this place. And your senses are very acutely aware now. Your imagination is fluid. And in the far distance, a faint twinkling of light, a small glowing speck, almost like a sparkle, that just seems to pull you closer. You see this faint twinkling of light. Although you are not quite sure why, but it feels so good to move a bit closer to that light, enticing light. That may even seem to have a shade or color to it, a color that somehow feels familiar and safe. And you find yourself drifting almost as if you were on a gentle current of comfort now, floating easily until you come to a beautiful little bridge where there is a clear, crisp, shallow stream. You notice now that there are gems twinkling under the surface of the clean water, and you can see emeralds and pearls, sapphires, rubies, diamonds, and many others. It's extraordinarily beautiful. Now the comforting voice of your inner wise self says, these jewels and gems are all a part of you. You can retrieve them, string them together, and make yourself a beautiful necklace. A necklace that empowers you to feel your best, healthiest self in mind, body, and spirit. And so you lean over into the water and you pick them up one by one. You find a long piece of grass and thread them carefully, being aware of their unique attributes. And a deep sense of well-being and ease deep inside swells up as you create the necklace of your life. The parts you saw scattered in the stream that you thread together with ease now, choosing to be aware of the beauty of each precious stone, each one with a purpose, even the ones of anger and frustration, knowing that they gave you a purpose of perhaps protecting you from harm. And now you get to decide if there is another better gemstone to pick out. Or perhaps this stone will remind you of those things that you have tolerated and what you no longer wish to tolerate. And as you continue choosing stones, gems, jewels to put on your necklace, perhaps you see that there's the gem of kindness and the jewel of love. The precious gem of self-care, the jewel of calm, the gem of clarity, wisdom, intuition, inner guidance. What else do you see here amongst all those gems to put on your necklace, to create the necklace? Which ones do you want to claim as part of you? What might one gem teach another even? Then just look at all those gems that are a part of you and just imagine. As you release deeper down into that place of well-being and ease, just how easy it is to know what it is you want and need to know. All these precious jewels belong to you and each shines in its own unique way, giving you glorious perspective into who you really are. So you can simply relax and go deeper now into that knowingness, understanding that all the gems, all of nature, all of the people and all of the nations are all connected, and that speck of light can spread that loving feeling out. And that's all you need right now in your own special ways, your own special needs. As you notice now, the stones you've chosen to leave behind, the ones that are too heavy, take up too much space, are dull from overuse, no longer have value, and are no longer are needed by you, as you create a necklace that works beautifully for your life right now. And you can focus on the ones that really work and fit now, no longer tolerating heavy, dull, non-fitting stones on your necklace. Instead, seeing the ones that really shine forth now. Might even be the pearl of wisdom, the ruby of intuition, the turquoise of confidence, or the diamond of self-love. Indulge yourself in the feelings of this new necklace you've created for yourself, one that is free of the burdensome toxic stones and filled with the gems of inner calm and confidence. And trust in your choice to take good care of this precious necklace now. Feel the gifts these gems bring into you and embrace the idea that from this moment on, your life experience is now enhanced in all ways appropriate for you. And so now, just drifting back into the healing glow of your new adornment, safe, comfortable, renewed, coming back into room consciousness now. Taking a good deep breath, assessing your stress level now. How are you two?
Good.
Okay. Take a breath in. Where are you on the scale of 1 to 10, stress level?
I would say 5.
Okay. 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 Good. Any comments about that process?
I don't see
very interesting because my meeting place was actually outside. It was my backyard, which right now is causing some stress on me because it's full of weeds and I can't get to it. I just can't even face it. And I was just talking about this yesterday with my husband, saying, you know, if you were helping me, it would cut the work in half, and it would be much more enjoyable than me just doing it. So would you like to help me? And so it's really weighing on me, because every day I go there, and I just, all I see is the weeds. And so that was the place I ended up being. And the one thing that happened at the same time was that I could not turn that at all anymore. All I was seeing was bright white light in my eyes, and I was closing my eyes, right? But that's all I could see. I was the picture just disappeared, and all I had was just this bright light, and that was right before you said, you know, you will see something sparkling, and you started talking about the gems. So that was very interesting.
That was
very timely, and just, you know, I don't know how it all happened, but that was exactly how it was. So that was fascinating for me.
Yeah, you were just catching what I was saying before I ever said it.
I guess I had this, you know, mental image of just blocking the one thing that was just not making me happy, which is the way my backyard looks right now, and I just didn't even see it anymore.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, yeah, and so maybe that's the message from your inner wise self, huh?
Let it go.
Don't look at it. Look at all the beauty that's in the yard instead of the weeds. I know. Yeah, I know. I have to constantly remind myself of that, because if I start looking closely, I see the weeds. I see the work that needs to be done that isn't done, and it's like, okay, just picture it. You know, look out there when people come in the yard. They go, oh my gosh, what a beautiful yard, and I have to remember that. And that's what's important, and that shifts it from looking at all the things that still need to be done.
Yes.
Great. Kim, anything occur for you during this process?
This one was a little harder one for me, I will say.
Okay.
So I'm not sure why. Maybe I have a lot of things I'm tolerating, and so it's hard for my mind to focus on kind of sussing out what those things are. I'm not sure, but I also was outdoors at the golf course on the patio, where I have had a couple of meetings with my team. And it's a nice, you know, nice relaxed place to be. And so that it was interesting that's immediately this one was a harder one for me, I will say, you know.
Okay. Well, sometimes it just will continue to kind of drift down for you. You know, it'll be continuing to channel in, so to speak, you know, as time goes on, because you were taking it in, but, you know, it on a conscious level, it may have seemed more of a challenge, whereas your subconscious mind was getting what this is, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, what occurs this week for both of you, and for everybody that listens to the call. And this may be something that you want to listen to again, this little process. So to move forward, so we can end this call on a timely manner, and it's getting right a few minutes past 8, I wanted to focus on, for the quick stress relief, for regarding the tolerations, how you can use that is that when you notice how something is irritating you, ask yourself, is this something I've been tolerating? Just asking the question. And if it feels like something you've been tolerating, take one of those good, deep, focused breaths. Congratulate yourself for being aware of another place in life that that you've been tolerating, and just make a commitment to put it on either that tolerations list or take the necessary steps when appropriate to eliminate it, if it's appropriate to eliminate it out of your life so it's no longer on the tolerations list. Like no longer seeing those weeds. And the other stress relief tools that I want to talk to you about quickly is singing, dancing, and music. So I don't expect that you're going to burst into song at work when you're feeling stress come on, but you could do it in the car if you're in traffic. Listening to music. Do either one of you find listening to music to be calming for you or, you know, at least engaging you in another place rather than your thoughts that want to go down the stress tunnel?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I listen to music in the car, and I have different channels that I actually listen to depending on whether it's the morning or in the evening because I'm mm-hmm. you know, with a completely different state of mind. So, yes, I do that all the time.
Good. Yeah. So, yeah, music, singing can actually stimulate the vagus nerve, which runs down the back of the sinus cavity and throat. And the vagus nerve is a component of the parasympathetic nervous system, that part of the nervous system that is responsible for restoring the body back into its natural relaxed state, which is what happens. You tap into the parasympathetic nervous system when you exhale. That's the recovery state. And so too does singing. Tap into the vagus nerve, which taps into the parasympathetic nervous system. So it causes the body to naturally relax, relieving stress and, you know, stress-reduced tension. So when you start singing instead of stressing, you also distract your attention away from whatever is giving you stress, and you get a dose of endorphins. So you can, if you're by yourself or you don't care what your kids think about you, start singing. Or, you know, when you have a five-year-old, it's a lot easier to sing with them, and they don't really care. They're not going to be embarrassed. When you have tweens and teens, they care, so you may not be singing with them. But when you're by yourself, you can be singing and know that you are stimulating your vagus nerve and helping to reduce stress. And then, of course, there's always dancing, too. Anybody dance?
No. I don't think I don't dance. I think I really suck at it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I can do music.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Kim, any dancing for you?
Well, you know, when I was younger, I used to do tap, ballet, jazz, the whole nine yards, but I don't do that anymore, and my husband doesn't dance, so I don't dance those kinds of things.
Yeah.
I never knew that, Kim. That's
you didn't?
I'm learning right now. No, I didn't.
Yeah. That was my passion when I was in school.
I didn't know that at all.
You know, it could be one of those times if you're by yourself, you put on music, and you just dance. You know, and I know for the two of you, having time by yourself, it doesn't come easily, but, you know, look for those times and think to yourself, if you are by yourself, wow, I could just dance. I could just practice my old tap dancing and see how that feels. You know, you may totally be off, you know, kilter and, you know, not know what you're doing anymore, but, you know, there's that muscle memory that comes back, kind of like riding a bike, you know, when you haven't ridden a bike in a long time. And you might find just doing 5 minutes of that will just feel enjoyable. You know, and again, it's, you know, hitting up on that that enjoyment level and distracting you from the stress, sending out the endorphins. So listening to music, singing, dancing, those types of things are all good and listening to music is probably the easiest one that you can do, just putting it on in the car. And then the last one is smiling that I want to give you today is a quick one. Now, you know, sometimes it seems counterintuitive to smile when you're feeling stressed, but it actually works to reduce stress symptoms. And there's been studies done that show the positive effects of smiling, even if it's not a genuine smile. So when you use those facial muscles needed to smile, what you're doing, once again, is causing a positive physiological response. And so it's stimulating the vagus nerve, which has relaxing effects. And one of the things that you can do to smile when you're not feeling like smiling is actually put a pencil in your mouth or a pen and, you know, in between your teeth. And when you do that, you mimic the same muscles as smiling. So you could put a pen or pencil in between your teeth, and as you're going into a meeting, you'll look official or something. And meanwhile, you're getting that dose of endorphins, the parasympathetic system, working for you. So smile, and it's not about, you know, just, you know, being out of integrity by smiling when you really don't feel like it. It is that thing of fake it until you make it, because when you are smiling, or like if you sit yourself up and, you know, or stand in the Wonder Woman pose, again, studies have shown by just changing your posture, you actually change your attitude. So if you smile and then, you know, think about smiling with your eyes, you can change your attitude. You can shift that feeling of stress. So those are your quick stress relief tools for the day and the week. And just be aware this week of what you've been tolerating. Be curious. As I mentioned already, when something's irritating you, ask if it's something you've been tolerating. And just look at it. It's not like you're wrong. There's no judgment there. Leave the judgments out of it. And just ask yourself, like Kim talked about, how can I reframe this? I have a choice to increase or decrease my stress, and what can you do about it? And you don't even necessarily have to come up with a solution right then and there. Sometimes just by asking that question allows the solutions to start to filter in, allows you to come up with what's going to work for you. So I just wanted to let you know that I know I have told you all that I was going to get the hypnosis processes up in separate audio files. I've been delayed in getting that done. I've been delayed in getting my evaluation questions to you, but I will keep you posted on this progress. And we do have one more session left, and I would just encourage you to go through your notes from all the sessions and whatever notes you've made, and make it a point to use the tools you've learned so far, and enjoy your week with the beautiful necklaces you've created for yourself. So with that,
I'm going to be in London next week, so I am going to miss our last one.
Oh, okay. Oh, darn. Okay,
yes.
But you will listen to the audio, and I would hope so that
yes, I absolutely will.
Last
yeah.
Yep. Good. Okay. Well, I've loved having you here, Kim. So I want you to
Thank
know
you.
That. I want to tell you that. To your ears, and yes, I appreciate your participation, and as I have for everybody that's been on the call, but we will talk more about that next week, but yes, have a good trip, safe travels, and both of you just have a wonderful, wonderful week using your tools and moving forward.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jackie. I'll call you when I get back, Brittany. Yes, okay. I'd love to see you.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.